Welcome to the Momming with Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Hargrove. On this show, I help moms discover Jesus in their motherhood. I hope this show encourages you in your mom journey. Enjoy the message. So the title of today's message is New Day After New Day. New Day After New Day. And this title and this message came from this verse when I was reading it, and it just really spoke to me. And it's in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. And it says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness, and his mercies begin afresh each morning." His mercies begin afresh each morning. Do you realize that each day that you wake up, God has truly given you his new mercies and his new grace? Like, each day is truly new in God's eyes. But are they to you, right? No matter how you feel today, I want you to know that God is, and he has extended to you grace. He's extended to you mercy simply because he loves you. That's it. And how did yesterday look for you, if you don't mind me asking, right? How did it look for you? Was it one of those good days? Or was it one of those days filled with frustration, confusion, mistakes, that mom guilt, strife, maybe feelings of being overwhelmed? And let me ask you another question. How did this past month go for you? Maybe even this last year or the last several years, right? All of us here have a past. I mean, obviously, we have a past filled with great memories and accomplishments and things we're proud of. We also have a past that are maybe filled with a couple of things that maybe we don't even want to talk about sometimes, right? But today, the concept of this verse above truly hit me. Like, I have read this verse before. I'm like, oh, how pretty. Like, that's a pretty verse. Like, his mercies are new each morning. But it didn't just sound so pretty to me today. Like, it really came alive in my heart. And like, does God really offer us his new mercies afresh each morning? Like, when we wake up, we can truly start over. We can truly try again. We can write on a clean slate. We can be free to live like it is a new day that it truly is. You know, I believe that if we truly had this revelation in our hearts and we believe this to be true, we would wake up without stacks of guilt on our shoulders. Have you woke up like that before? It's like, as soon as you wake up, it's just heavy. That if we truly believe this, we would wake up without the fear of failure just looming over us. We would wake up without the thought, I hope I don't mess this up today, or without the fear, the shame, the guilt, and the frustration. And I believe that if we truly understood this, we could allow ourselves to wake up free and hopeful and grateful and excited and anticipating a good day full of God's grace and love. And this truth about God's mercies being new each morning, they apply to every area of our life. So many areas. They apply to our past, our yesterday. They apply to the mom guilt and the mistakes and our imperfections. They apply to all of it. We can start over in every area when we simply open our eyes each morning, because God really is that good. And so I hope that as I share a little bit more of this message today, based off of this verse, that you catch what I feel like God helped me catch today. Like not just this understanding, but like this revelation of like, when I open my eyes in the morning, boom, God's grace is new. His mercy is new. It is a new day in the eyes of God that he has so graciously given me. And so we're going to talk about 3 points today. The first one is leave the baggage. All right, we're going deep. Leave the baggage. The second one is don't look back. And the last one is God really is that good. Okay, so let's dive into leave the baggage. Let's deal with the heavy one first. Okay, so let's think of us as women. We are known for, we are known for having maybe huge purses, diaper bags. Maybe you're that small purse kind of girl, respect. But you get my point. We carry all kinds of bags when we go places and everywhere that we go, whether they might be filled with snacks, a diaper, sanitizer, extra clothes, old Goldfish, permission slips, notebooks, old toys, a computer, a notebook, some chapstick. I don't know what you got in there. Okay, a Tide stick. We're carrying a kid on one hip sometimes in some seasons of motherhood. And on the left shoulder, we're carrying this heavy bag with red marks on our shoulders from the weight of the bag that we carry, right? We can carry so much. We carry a lot as women. And we're strong women, stronger than others might think. Oh, that's just a mom. No, I'm carrying a kid. I'm exhausted. I'm carrying this bag of diapers and clothes and snacks because I know that they need it all. But at the end of the day, they might not use any of it today, but we need it, right? We're good at carrying a lot of things, even if they're heavy. That's why some of our backs and our hips hurt some days because like, dang, why does it hurt? Well, I've been carrying babies all day. But another thing that we're good at is carrying the baggage of our own inadequacies, of our own failures, our yesterdays. And we carry this around with us everywhere we go sometimes. We can't just seem to let these bags go. So we just carry them. We think, I need them today. I need to carry this. I've been carrying it. This is who I am. We wake up feeling the heaviness, and then we go to bed with the bag just a little bit heavier from the day before. We put some more stuff in it, some more guilt, some more shame, some more confusion, and we continue to fill it with all of our not enoughs, our imperfect mom moments, and our woulda, shoulda, couldas, right? But I want to be that friend today that tells you something. I walk up to you, tap your shoulder and say, girl, put that bag down. In fact, leave that baggage behind, girl. You literally need nothing from that bag today to function. Why do you carry it with you everywhere you go? It's not flattering you. It's too heavy for you. And most importantly, it's out of style. Okay. It is not in style for this new season of your life. And in order to fully embrace these new days that we're talking about, with God's new mercy and his grace, we have to leave the baggage behind. God isn't calling us to drag it into the next day, day after day after day. He's not saying, all right, new day today. Oh, get your baggage, girl. Don't forget it. This is going to remind you of how you're not enough. You need it for this new day. You think God's doing that? Hey, get your baggage, girl. You need to remember all the mistakes you made so that you don't make another one today. You know, that's not how God works. He's saying, girl, it's time to leave it. And why? Because Jesus literally bore the baggage on the cross for you already. And when we choose to still wear it, it defeats the power of the cross. It defeats the power of what Jesus literally did for us already. But the truth is what he did is already enough. It is finished. It is done. He washed you in his precious blood, and he has cleansed you from all of the baggage that you once held on to. And I just believe that I imagine at least that he walks up next to you today right now and says, excuse me, miss, let me take that back from you. You know, like how there's actually like some gentleman in the world. Maybe your husband's a nice gentleman. He sees you carrying something heavy, like, hey, babe, let me carry that for you. Or a nice man at the store, like, hey, let me help you with that dog food in your cart. Let me carry that. I just imagine Jesus like, hey, let me take that bag from you, honey. It's too heavy. And then I imagine him literally like running away with it and slam dunking it in the trash and saying, you don't need this anymore. I don't know. That's just my imagination. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think it's funny. But you get my point. You get this illustration. In this new season, God wants you to leave the baggage and embrace the new mercies, the new grace, the new freedom that he wants to give you. He wants you to release the old and take hold of the new. And in Romans 3:22 through 24, it says this: we are made right with God by placing our faith in Christ Jesus. And then it has a period. Okay. Period. And this is true for everyone who believes. Okay. You got that? Everyone, no matter who we are. That's what the Bible says. It is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone. Okay. You hear this? Everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. I mean, do you catch this loaded verse? We are made right by placing our trust in what Jesus did for us. And it's for anyone who believes, no matter who you are. And did you realize that you might look at yourself and like, well, I'm this or I'm this. Well, it says everyone has sinned, honey. Okay, everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's grace and his standard, but he freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this through the blood of Jesus. I mean, isn't that reassuring? I want you to be reassured today to leave that baggage behind and know that right now in this moment, because of Jesus, not because of your right actions or choices or all these things, but because of Jesus, you are seen as right as you believe in him. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You hear that? Anyone who belongs to Christ, do you belong to Christ? You put your faith in him, you believe, then you are a new person. Your old life with the old baggage is gone and the new life has begun. Those are some powerful truths to stand on, and I hope that you do. So let's move on to our next point, and that is don't look back. All right, this one's a little juicy right here. There's a story about this woman who looked back. You're not going to believe what happened to her, okay? So don't look back. Hello, beautiful souls. This community thrives on shared stories, laughter, tears, and the strength that we draw from God's word and each other. As we navigate the symphony of motherhood together, our mission is to uplift, support, and empower every mom listening. To keep our sanctuary vibrant and accessible, we are reaching out for your support. Whether you want to become a monthly supporter or by giving a one-time donation of the price of your favorite latte, your generosity helps us continue to bring content that touches the heart, nurtures a soul, and strengthens our faith and fellowship as moms. If our conversations have been a companion to you in your moments of need, joy, or reflection, consider contributing to our cause. Just visit laurenahargrove.com and find the support tab. It's quick, simple, and your support means the world to us and to mothers everywhere. Thank you for being a part of our journey, for sharing your highs and lows, and for mommy with Jesus. Now let's return to today's episode. As we walk into our new days and our new life, these new beginnings, it is truly important to not look back. For example, can you successfully and carefully drive your car while looking out of the rearview mirror? Okay. Can you drive to your destination by solely looking out of the rearview mirror? No, because that is not where your car is headed. You will end up crashing because you're not focusing on the road right in front of you. Rather, you're focusing on the road you've already traveled, the past. You can't wake up and enjoy the newness of each day with yesterday's thoughts, with yesterday's failures and guilts and mistakes. It just won't help you today. This made me think of the story of Lot's wife in the Bible. Not sure if you've read it before or heard about it, but I'll share a segment. And if you want to know more about it, I encourage you to go read it. It's a very interesting story. And this story is very interesting, and it is a story that many have tried to fully understand the reasons behind it, okay? So there's a lot of different people that have different opinions about it. It's a story that doesn't have a very clear, like, whoa, what if that? It leaves a little mystery about why it happened, but you can allude to, like, why this happened to her, right? And so, but I'm going to read a segment of it to you first. In Genesis 19, it says, at dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who were here. Okay, real quick. They were living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you haven't heard about Sodom and Gomorrah, they got destroyed because of all of the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. But before it got destroyed, Lot was a righteous man. He was the cousin or nephew of Abraham, I think nephew, but of Abraham. And they lived, Lot and his family lived there in the middle of this wicked city, but they were righteous. They believed in God and they were crying out to God, like, look at all this that's going on. And so then God sent this angel to tell Lot and his family to get out because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of its sins. But he wanted to spare Lot and his family because they were righteous. They believed in God. So fast forward, here's what I'm reading again. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, so he has an angel telling him to get out, and he's like, he's hesitating. Like, if an angel came to tell me something, I probably would have reacted like Saul too, Lot, but at the same time, I'd be like, well, shoot, I better get out of here. Lot hesitated. The angel seized his hand and the hand of his wife and two daughters and rushed them safely outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. Dude, if it isn't for the Lord's mercy, am I right? The Lord is so merciful in our life. He could have been destroyed right there. He wasn't even listening. He was being hesitant. And the angel grabbed him by the hand and pulled him out because the Lord is merciful. So then it says, when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. So they pulled him out from the place of destruction, saved their lives. And then the next instruction was run for your life and don't look back. Okay. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. He's giving him a warning. Go, run, or you're going to be swept away. But guess what Lot's wife did? After hearing, don't look back and don't stop, Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him and she turned into a pillar of salt. Dude, she literally turned into a pillar of salt, gone, vanished by Lot's wife. She had clear instruction to not look back. And we may not fully understand why or what, right? But God spared her. He already extended mercy. He saved her. He took her out of this horrible place. And she looked back. And look at what Luke 17 says. It says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. And this alludes to like why this happened to her. So it says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. And it sounds like it contradicts itself, but it doesn't. God is trying to give us this understanding that when you are clinging to the things of this world in your life, you're going to end up losing it. But if you let your life go, you will save it. And so what did Lot's wife do? She looked back after being instructed by the angel to not. Then Luke gives us the insight to why this happened. Like I said, she clinged to her old life. So listen to this. There's something in the familiarity of the sinful life that she was leaving that she wasn't ready to give up. You catch me? Why would she look back? In my opinion, based off of what Luke said as well, she looked back because even though they wanted to escape wickedness and destruction and this atmosphere of sin, there was something about the sinfulness that made it feel familiar that she wasn't ready to leave yet. She wanted to escape, but she also had something making her look back one more time. How many times have we felt like this with our old life? We're afraid to leave the toxic relationships, maybe the substance abuse that numbs the pain, the unforgiveness or resentment, the old friendships and communities that tend to pull us back into the old lifestyle, the old ways of acting, thinking, responding, the old ways of mothering. I don't know what it is, but sometimes the familiarity of the toxic gives us a sense of comfort. Does that make sense? To me, it makes sense because when I look back, there's been times that like my old life is like, I know it's not good. I don't want it. But sometimes the toxic was familiar. It's what we're used to and therefore made us comfortable, even though this comfort is a lie. That comfort will promise fulfillment, but in the end, it throws you to the curb for all to see. It says, hey, come back here a little bit. Look back over here. Remember this? You want to do this? Like, remember all of this in your old life? Don't you want just a little bit of this? And it brings you in. And once you do, it literally tricks you and backstabs you, throws you to the curb and laughs in your face for all to see. That is what sin makes me think of. Sin lures you in and then throws you out and humiliates you. The truth is letting go of what is behind us is hard. It's scary. The newness of the new season is almost uncomfortable at first and uncertain. But if we know we are leaving it behind for something better and safe and secure, something true, holy, and promising, we can trust that God will walk us into this new season securely, one step at a time. And so, like I said, I get it. I've been there. I've been torn before as I dance between my old life and my new life. Have you ever been in that place where you're dancing in your old life, but you're also dancing in this new life and you're not ready to make a full decision of which life you want to live, But when I decided to put both feet on the other side with Jesus in this new life he offers, I'm telling you, I've never looked back. I can't look back. There is nothing for me in my old life. And Lot's wife was still dancing, but unfortunately in that dance between the old life and new life, it was not the right time to do that. There was destruction and she turned into salt. So let's learn from Lot's wife's mistake and just simply trust that there is nothing to look back at that is worth our life. And in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, but forget all of that. Okay, forget it all. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I love this verse. You may have heard it before, but believe it for the season of your life that God is saying, forget the old. I am doing something new. Do you not see it? So let's end on our last point, and that is God is really that good. I mean, God is really that good. He wants to extend his mercy and grace to us every morning. How can God know everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and still extend his love, mercy, and grace? Like every day. And the truth is, it's because God is just really that good. In Psalms 8:4-5, it says, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. What a beautiful verse that God is saying, that he sees you and he thinks about you and he has crowned you with glory and honor. When you feel less than, he's like, it's all right, but I crowned you, girl. I crowned you. I think of you. I care for you. God really wants to be good to you. God really does, in fact, love you. God really does care about you and all the details of your life. And God cares to give you a new life. He cares to give you new days, every day, in fact, filled with his mercy and grace. And not because you earned it, not because of your perfect behavior, and not because you checked all the boxes and got all the shots, okay? But simply because he loves you. And what Jesus did for you on the cross made a way for you to be loved by him with an unfailing and all-consuming love. And I want to end with Psalms 103. I love this. I pulled most of it out, but not all of it. But this will give you an idea of how good God really is. And it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and he crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is not constantly accusing us, nor remains angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust, but the love of the Lord remains forever for those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. God really is that good. So I encourage you today and this week to embrace these truths and to wake up tomorrow knowing that when your eyes open, his mercies and his grace are new for you. And so with all that being said, I pray that today's message, the word of God, spoke to your heart right where you needed it. I pray that every day, and I just pray that it spoke to you. And if you're here today and you realize, as we're talking about all this, like, you know what, Jesus, I'm ready to start new, starting tomorrow morning, right? Starting right now. Maybe it's not because you have a crazy past, but maybe you had a crazy day and you just need a new day. Or maybe you're looking back at everything. You're like, it wasn't just a crazy day, but a crazy life. And I do need this whole newness, right? I need you, Jesus, to make things new and turn it around and give me eyes to see things out of your eyes. But if you're here and you're saying, I'm tired of dancing between this life and that life, and I'm ready to just dance with you, Jesus. If you're ready to make that full-hearted commitment to say, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm tired of dancing between the world and your ways, but I'm all in. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. And I encourage you to take a moment tonight to even pray between you and God and say, Jesus, I accept you in my heart. But praying that prayer and saying, Jesus, I'm ready to be all in with you. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life and the Savior to my soul is the most powerful prayer of not looking back and looking forward into his eyes that you can make. And so, God, I pray for the women here today and listening, that you would just show them that, God, you take their hand, you dance with them, you make their days new, their life new, you make them a new creation in your spirit. And we thank you for your salvation, your forgiveness, your faithfulness, your mercies, and your grace. And I just pray, Lord, that all of us would accept the salvation that you offer us, that we would live life with you, walking with you, Lord, and dancing with you, and just knowing, God, that in you, you make all things new. And I thank you for these things. I pray that you bless our children to experience your presence, your newness, your life that you give, not only to us, but God, reach the souls of our children. I just pray salvation over our children, hope and long life and good health, and help us to be the moms that you've called us to be for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you found encouragement today. I'd love to connect with you. You can find me by following Lauren A. Hargrove on Instagram or Facebook. And before you go, can you do me a favor and leave a rating and review for this show? I would greatly appreciate it, and it would help other moms better find the show too. With that, thank you for being a part of our community today, and until next time.